Hello, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. How to improve your memory for things that matter. A new book explains how our brains selectively remember and forget, and how to use that knowledge to our advantage. By Jill Suddy, February 20, 2023. Have you ever forgotten a lunch date and stood up a good friend? This can be embarrassing and disconcerting, a potential sign that your memory just isn't what it used to be. But according to a new book by researcher Charan Ranganath, Why We Remember, this kind of gaffe is less about a faulty memory and more an artifact of how memory works. Although we tend to believe that we can and should remember anything we want, the reality is that we are designed to forget, he says. Ranganath explains, our memory isn't just a repository for everything that's ever happened to us. It is much more fluid than that, affected by the context of our past experiences, as well as what's happening in the present moment. Because our lives are full of incoming sensory information and our reactions to it, the laying down of a memory needs to be a competitive process, with priority given to more important, novel, or salient experiences at the expense of others. That's why we might forget about our lunch date in the midst of a pressing work deadline. Ranganath argues that if we understand how and why we remember things, we'll be better prepared to use our memories wisely. And he writes, this is important as memory plays a pretty all-encompassing role in nearly every aspect of our lives. Memories are the driving force behind life-changing decisions, from what career to pursue and where to live, to what causes you to believe in, even how you raise your children and what sort of people you want around you, he says. How memory works. Because memory is so important, many parts of our brains are involved in creating memories, most notably the hippocampus and prefrontal cortex, working together to help keep track of our lives and make future predictions. The hippocampus is the primary center of memory, laying down episodic memories based on specific experiences within particular contexts, such as when and where something occurred. Because it uses context to index a memory, the hippocampus plays a role in orienting us in time and space. This means people with damage to the hippocampus, such as those with Alzheimer's, have trouble with getting lost and are often disoriented. However, even with an intact hippocampus, you might wake up in a strange hotel room and feel disoriented for a moment. The difference is that you can quickly draw on episodic memory to recall why you were there. Recalling episodic memories allows you to time travel in a way, re-experiencing feelings and thoughts you had at different times in your life. Because they are context-driven, these memories can be triggered by putting yourself in a similar context to where an event occurred. For example, you might walk into your childhood home and smell your mother's cooking and be transported to a powerful memory of eating dinner with your parents when you were a child, and the good or bad of that experience. Music is also a powerful way to stir up episodic memories, with songs from our teen to early adult years being particularly potent. Current emotions affect memory too, says Ranganath. So that feeling sad may lead to recalling sad memories. And you can affect your feelings in the present by recalling the past, such as when you think back nostalgically about a trip that you took abroad and relive the happy memories. Research suggests that reminiscing can be good for your mood and sense of self if you focus on positive memories, which fortunately are easier to recall. And if we recall past experiences of being generous, for example, it can make us more generous in the present. The prefrontal cortex is also important for memory, especially semantic memory, which is the consolidation of memories from the past that can be used to understand our present self and our circumstances and to make predictions. It's implicated in learning and in directing our behavior, helping us to navigate our lives. So while the hippocampus might contain memories of the many places we've left our house keys in the past, the prefrontal cortex might recognize a pattern in those memories and help us know where to look for a lost pair. It might also notice a pattern of memory lapses, signaling us to be more careful in the future. In that way, the prefrontal cortex assists in weeding what we can let go of from what we most need to know, helping us to make good choices. The human brain is not a memorization machine. It's a thinking machine, says Ranganath. We organize our experiences in ways that allow us to make sense of the world that we live in. How to improve memory for things we want to remember. The important thing isn't to remember everything, writes Ranganath, but to remember what we most value. Luckily, there are many ways that we can improve our memory for things that matter to us. Taking good care of our physical bodies, as in getting enough food, exercise, and rest, will improve our brain health generally, and so improve memory, says Ranganath. But we can also use the nature of memory to make certain memories stand out. Events are more memorable when they are novel or surprising. So, if we want to draw on a memory later, we can focus more on unexpected things in an experience. For example, going to a new restaurant with your romantic partner will make the experience more memorable than going to a favorite hangout where you dine often. And since we tend to remember events imbued with stronger emotions, higher highs and lower lows, that can also play a role in creating a lasting memory. When it comes to learning, we can use mnemonic devices to remember things that might otherwise be difficult to recall, such as a phrase, King Philip came over for good spaghetti, to remember taxonomy categories, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. chunking large bits of information into more manageable pieces, a trick often used by memory savants, can be also useful, says Ranganath. It's the reason our phone numbers and social security numbers are broken up into three sections to make them easier to remember. However, memory isn't just about recall. It's about thinking through things and seeing connections between disparate elements. So, our brains are designed to organize memories into fuller narratives or schemas that can help us make sense of the present and know what to do. This is why a seasoned basketball player can read their opponent's positions on the court and instantly initiate the right play. Schemas formed through past experiences of thousands of plays on the court help them to predict what will happen in the future if they make a particular move. Memory also isn't as objective and unchanging as we think, in part because our brains reconstruct a memory each time it's recollected. While memories may be based on bits and pieces of what actually occurred in the past, they can also be embellished by our minds based on what we think probably happened or what we imagine could have happened. This is why two people can remember something they experienced together so differently, something that can be both entertaining and exasperating. Each time we revisit the past in our minds, we bring with us information from the present that can subtly and even profoundly alter the content of our memories, says Ranganath. Consequently, every time we recall an experience, what we remember is suffused with the residue of the last time we remembered it. Factors like how recently something happened, how much something is repeated, and how we are feeling at the time will change how well we recall a memory. Also, the people around us can affect our memory for an event by either sharing their own memory, which may contradict ours, or by their expectations of how an event should be remembered. That's why two people witnessing a street fight may see different things occurring, but eventually come to have similar memories about what happened. Their memories influence each other more so if they talk it through after the fact. Being able to update our memories when we get new information is not a bug, but a feature of memory. Unfortunately, that means memory can be easily corrupted too, says Ranganath. For example, eyewitness accounts of crimes can be influenced by the kinds of leading questions witnesses are asked by law enforcement and by their feelings of fear or stress in the moment. That can lead someone to mistake an innocent person for a criminal with terrible consequences. Similarly, there are many cases of people who have confessed to a crime simply because they became convinced through coercion that they shouldn't trust their own memory of what happened. While we can and do use our memory to remember important lessons from life and make good decisions, we must also be humble when it comes to our memory. By understanding the way memory works, we can learn to strengthen it for the things that we need to know and to avoid some of the pitfalls. When we get to know the remembering self, we can seize the opportunity to play an active role in our remembering, freeing ourselves from the shackles of the past and instead using the past to guide us toward a better future, says Ranganath. About the author. Jill Suddy, Doctor of Psychology, is Greater Good's former book review editor and now serves as staff writer and contributing editor for the magazine. She received her doctorate of psychology from the University of San Francisco in 1998 and was a psychologist in private practice before coming to Greater Good. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. What is body appreciation and how can you cultivate it? People with high body appreciation tend to experience less depression and anxiety and better sexual and life satisfaction. By Viren Swami, February 5th, 2024. These days, it's hard to miss the body positivity movement. But love and respect for the body isn't new and wasn't invented by the West. Indeed, global research I've collaborated on has found that body appreciation is understood and experienced the same way all over the world, even if we did find large differences in levels of body appreciation between different countries. But first, it's important to understand what body image and body appreciation really mean in psychology. Body image is the inside view that you have of yourself. Historically, body image research was focused on negative aspects such as appearance anxiety or clinical conditions, including body dysmorphic disorder. Over the past 2 years, however, the study of positive body image has gained momentum. There are different forms of positive body image, but perhaps the most important and most widely studied is body appreciation. People who have high body appreciation are more likely to appreciate the unique characteristics of and be attentive to the needs of their bodies. These people also tend to reject narrow appearance ideals as the only form of human beauty. Body positivity is a movement that promotes positive views of all bodies, whereas body appreciation is an inner relationship to your own body. Body appreciation in diverse populations. Body appreciation is usually measured by researchers using the Body Appreciation Scale 2, or BAS2, which includes statements such as, I respect my body, and I feel love for my body. An important question for scientists is whether the BAS2 measures body appreciation in the same way for different groups of people. To answer this question, my colleagues and I in the Body Image in Nature survey, a consortium of 253 international scientists, asked participants from 65 countries speaking 40 different languages to complete the BAS2. In one of the largest studies ever conducted on body image, we found that the BAS2 was understood in the same way across all communities. Other studies have found that the BAS2 is understood in much the same way across sexual orientations and gender identities. This means that body appreciation can be considered a good example of a positive phenomenon, much like feelings of happiness and life satisfaction. It also means scientists can compare levels of body appreciation across diverse communities. In our cross-national study, we found large differences in body appreciation across countries, with Malta, Taiwan and Bangladesh having the highest overall scores, and Australia, India, and the UK having the lowest. One possibility, supported by our findings, is that greater cultural distance from westernized contexts allows people to disentangle their self-worth from their self, their physical appearance. Other work has shown that men tend to have higher body appreciation than women, and that body appreciation increases with age. It might be that men and older people tend to experience less pressure to attain prescriptive appearance ideals. When does it start? Experiences of body appreciation often develop early in life. For example, interviews with Swedish adolescents who were satisfied with their appearance found that they accepted their physical imperfections. These adolescents seem to appreciate what the body is able to do rather than what it looks like. Social contexts in which people can feel acceptance and belonging, such as supportive friends and encouraging romantic partners, are crucial for the early development of body appreciation. In these and other interviews, participants typically say that excelling in physical or other activities, such as singing or exploring one's sexuality, helped them develop feelings of agency and body appreciation. Why is body appreciation important? There are many reasons why developing body appreciation is beneficial. For example, greater body appreciation is reliably associated with healthier eating styles. It also reduces the likelihood of experiencing symptoms of eating disorders, including binge eating and restrictive eating. Body appreciation is also associated with more positive mental health. A 2022 review of 240 papers found that higher levels of body appreciation were associated with greater self-compassion and life satisfaction, as well as fewer symptoms of anxiety and depression. Greater body appreciation is also associated with healthier lifestyle choices. Another 2022 review of 9 studies with mostly Western participants found that body appreciation was associated with less health-compromising behavior, including risky sexual activity and alcohol abuse. Other research has found that greater body appreciation provides a strong foundation for developing more liberal, sex-positive attitudes, as well as more positive sexual experiences, including sexual satisfaction. Additionally, greater body appreciation is associated with more positive attitudes towards breastfeeding and stronger motivation to engage in physical activity. Promoting body appreciation. What all of these studies suggest is that greater body appreciation can provide a strong platform for all manner of positive behavior and attitudes. When people appreciate their bodies, they are more likely to be attentive to their bodily needs and feel more connected to their bodies. This, in turn, motivates a desire to maintain good mental and physical health. For children and adolescents, yoga and physical activity are beneficial, and there are also picture books that can help children understand what body appreciation looks and feels like. For adults, many embodying activities, things that promote a sense of inhabiting our bodies can promote body appreciation. Examples include dance and other forms of physical activity, life drawing, and even just going for a walk in nature. About the author. Viren Swami, PhD, is a professor of social psychology at Anglia Ruskin University and director of the Center for Psychological Medicine, a collaborative research center between Anglia Ruskin University and Perdana University in Malaysia. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.